merciful grace.
The message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there's a God-given design for its study. Rightly divided, the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for an interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join him now.
We're certainly glad you've joined us today. We do trust that our time in God's Word will be a rich blessing and help to you as we look again at some things about our adversary, the devil. The satanic policy of evil, as is revealed in the Word of God, is one of great interest because it's aimed at you and at me. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, the Apostle Paul describes what it's like to minister to people who've been influenced by the adversary. And I'm going to read the passage that he talks about because it's critically important that you understand how to minister to those who are under satanic oppression and obsession and even sometimes possession. Because part of what is going on in the spiritual world today, in fact, the fundamental issue in the spiritual world today is the conflict between the truth and the lie. The truth is a program of God. The lie is a program of the adversary. The truth is a program that tells you to trust what God says. The lie is a program that says trust what the adversary, the devil, says. Now, we've already looked at in our previous programs where the satanic program came from. In Isaiah chapter number 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28, we learn that Satan was not created as Satan. He was really originally Lucifer, the son of the morning. Lucifer, that name, Lux Ferro, it's a Latin word. It means the light bearer, the one who was given a responsibility by God to carry the light. God is light, in him is no darkness at all. He was originally created to be the leader of the creation's worship of God. That's why Ezekiel 28 says he was perfect in beauty. He was the sum of beauty, the sum of wisdom. He was the most beautiful creature God had made. Physically, intellectually, he had the most creative genius of any creature that God made. He had a position of being the anointed cherub. The word anointed, you'll remember, is the word, the Hebrew word is the word Messiah in English. The Greek word is the word in English, Christos, Christ. He was the original anointed one of God. He was the original Christ of God. He was the original one who was given the responsibility to go out and be God's anointed one. You know, when you hear people talking about the anointing and getting the anointing and all that kind of stuff today, you better be careful you're getting the right anointing. There is another Jesus in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 11 says. There's another spirit in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 11 verse 4 says. You better be sure you got the right Jesus and the right spirit. There's another Christ. He started out as Lucifer with the job and the responsibility to go out and execute the will of the Father in all of creation and to devise, use his creative genius to devise ways to honor the Creator. And he was perfect in his ways until, the book says, iniquity was found in him. Until a crooked perverseness swelled up in his heart. 1 Timothy 3 says that he was lifted up by pride. He looked at his beauty. He looked at his wisdom. He looked at God. And he said, I ought to be sitting on that throne. And he decided I should be acclaimed as the rightful ruler of the universe. I should be like the Most High God. And in Isaiah 14, we read about, we studied last time, that fivefold. Five times he said, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. He exalted his will. It's not thy will, but my will be done. And that exaltation of his own will. The middle letter of the word sin is I. The middle letter of the word pride is I. The middle letter of the word Lucifer, by the way, is I. And that's what caused his downfall, was exalting his will above God's will. That's why in Romans chapter 1, when Paul describes the introduction of the lie program into man and man's world. He describes it, Romans 1, verse 25, he says, they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. That's the essence of the lie, is to make your will, to make you or someone like you your absolute final authority, rather than the Word of God, the truth of God. And you change God's truth, that is, that He's the rightful King of the universe, He's the one who has the right of absolute authority, into a lie by claiming that authority for yourself or someone like you, a creature like you. And as soon as you buy into the idea that your will, that you can be your absolute final authority, what you just did is you bought into the will of the devil, the plan of Satan. You joined his team. You begin to think like he thinks. Now, how do you help people who are under that kind of delusion? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 24, Paul says, the servant of the Lord must not strive. Arguing to prove your point isn't the issue. But be gentle unto all men, apt, able, having the aptitude to teach, patient. It's going to take a while. It won't be a quick fix, necessarily. In meekness, the opposite of pride. Instructing, the opposite of ignorance. Those that, notice, oppose themselves. Living in exactly the opposite of the way they were created to live. Friend, you were not created to live under the authority and the thinking process of the adversary. You are not created to live with the thinking process that says, not thy will, but mine be done. If you want to see how you were created, you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect man, God who took upon himself man's identity, our humanity. And God lived in our humanity in the person of Jesus Christ to show us how he intended humanity to live. So he's not just God, he's the perfect man. What did he say? He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Talking to the Father. He was obedient unto death. He said, a body hast thou prepared me. I come to do thy will, O God. That's it. It's so simple, isn't it? The difference between the two. In meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves. Living under the clutches of the adversary makes you live exactly the opposite of the way you were created to live. Which means you're living the opposite of the way that is best for you to live. You're living to your own destruction, opposing themselves. Now, we instruct those people. We begin to teach out of the Word of God. That's why this is a teaching program. You see, the Christian life is not designed to operate on the basis of ignorance. It's not designed to operate on the basis of your emotions. It's not designed to operate on the basis of human viewpoint. It'll only operate on the basis of the truth of God. Instructing those who oppose himself, if peradventure God will grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. There it is. Now watch. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Satan has a will for your life to take you captive into his lie program. By getting you to buy into the idea that you can worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. That you can trust your will and be your own authority rather than have God Himself, the Creator of all things, be your final authority. You get caught into that snare. And Paul says, my job is to instruct you out of the truth of God's Word. So the truth of God's Word can sober your mind, that you then can recover yourself out of the snare of the devil. Now, when you recover yourself out of the snare of the devil, I'm going to get the chalkboard out here. There's something you have to understand here, and this is one of the reasons that when we talk to you here week after week, we talk so much about rightly dividing the word of truth. Listen, the adversary doesn't care how much of the Bible you believe, as long as you don't believe the Bible rightly divided. I've said to you before, the most dangerous thing you can ever do in your life spiritually is to use the Bible but fail to rightly divide the Bible, to be scriptural but not to be dispensational. Did you understand that Satan can quote scripture? Three times Jesus Christ faced Satan in his temptation, Matthew 4, Luke chapter 4. Jesus Christ answered him every time, "It is written." The second time Satan tempted him, he said, "It's written again." There's Satan quoting scripture to God the Son. You see, he knows scripture. He'll use scripture in spiritual conflict. Just because you see somebody quoting the Bible doesn't mean they're quoting it. They're making truth out of it. Peter over in 2 Peter chapter 3 talked about some people who twist the scripture, who instead of rightly dividing it and making the distinctions and the separations God made, they twist it all together and treat the Word of God sort of like a smorgasbord where you just go down and pick out the things you like. He said they do that to their own destruction. It's dangerous to study God's Word if you don't rightly divide it. Well, these people were doing that. When it comes to understanding how Satan operates, you've got to understand that. And this, when he says here that you are, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, there's a tremendous difference in the way that Satan operates in the dispensation of grace, as in 2 Timothy 2, and in other parts of the Scripture. For example, if you go back to the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you have the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist comes and preaches, you know, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, prepare the way of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ comes and he preaches, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the gospel of the kingdom. He casts out devils. He heals people. He calls out the 12 apostles and to be the leaders of the little flock. Then he dies on Calvary's cross. He's resurrected. He ascends into heaven. The Holy Spirit comes on the little flock here in the early Acts period. These people here are trained for the ministry they're going to carry on out there. And they begin to go out in the early Acts period. Now, the satanic opposition back here is markedly different than when you come over here and the fall of Israel takes place and Jesus Christ from heaven reaches down and saves Saul of Tarsus, makes him Paul the apostle, and through him reveals the truth about the church, the body of Christ, and the dispensation of the grace of God, where today he's forming the church, the body of Christ. Back here, the issue was God working through the nation Israel. You have the circumcision and the uncircumcision. In here, in Paul's ministry, the issue is the church, the body of Christ. And you have some books in here, Romans through Philemon, that represent what God's doing today. One day Jesus Christ will come, take the church, the body of Christ out of here. And when he does, he'll go back over here and start dealing again with Israel. It's fascinating. Paul's epistles are followed by a book called Hebrews, and you'll deal here with the period of the wrath of God in the 70th week of Daniel, Christ coming back, setting up his kingdom, and then you're going out past that. I just want you to look back here. We'll look over there in just a minute, too. But back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where you have the earthly ministry of Christ to the nation Israel, there was a certain way that Satan operated. In the early Acts period, there's a certain way that he operates. But that, after the fall of Israel and salvation going to the Gentiles, his operation in here is different. So if you're going to stand against, James says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. If you're going to resist Satan, and you're trying to resist him according to the ministry back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're not resisting him, you're cooperating with him. Oh, isn't that interesting? Because what are you doing? God has changed the program. This is what God's doing today in the dispensation of the grace of God. He's not redeeming Israel. He's not trying to reclaim real estate and social structures and economic systems. He's forming a spiritual body of believers called the Church of the Body of Christ. He's delivering us from the power of darkness and translating us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood. This is what God's doing today. Now, if you want to go back and decide, well, no, I think this is what God's doing, I think isn't the issue. What you think God's doing, what your preacher tells you God's doing, what the religious system tells you God's doing, isn't the issue. It's what does God's Word say that He's doing. You say, but Brother Rick, God's Word said He did these things back here. That's right, He did those things back here in time past, and the Bible tells us that time past isn't what He's doing in the but now. There's two different systems here. And if you don't rightly divide the word of truth between the prophetic program, the program of prophecy, and the program that Paul calls mystery, you're never going to understand what God's doing, because God's doing something over here that's different from what He was doing back there. I had an email yesterday, actually, from a fellow who's watching the TV program. He says, Brother Rick, I need to ask you a question. I went and talked to my preacher about what you were saying about the difference between prophecy and mystery. And my preacher told me, and he began to this string of things this preacher said about, you know, about me. He said, Brother Jordan's a hyper-dispensationalist, and he's blah, 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 all these things. And he said, what do you think about all that? And I just wrote him back. He said, well, I'm not surprised that he said that. Because what we're teaching here is a threat to the religious system. It's a threat to people who are caught up in religion. But the key isn't what does your preacher say or what do I say. Listen, you don't need a college education or a seminary degree or a preacher that's got those things to figure this out. Okay? All you need to do is look at some verses in a Bible, and it'll help you. And you can let what God says, you can let it be not my will, but thy will be done, and you can follow truth. Now, you know we go over these things a lot. If you first time you ever watch this program, get Acts chapter 3, verse 21. And in Acts chapter 3, verse 21, Peter, right here, after Pentecost, filled with the Holy Ghost, he says, the things that I'm preaching to you are the things which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Since right there. They've been spoken about, preached about, and prophesied about. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Write the verse down if you're where you can't look at the Bible right now. Romans 16, 25. Read the verse. Let the verse tell you what you need to know. And he talks about the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret. That word mystery means secret. Doesn't mean spooky. It's something you can't understand. Hoodly-doo kind of stuff. We're not talking about some superstition here. We're talking about something God kept secret. Ephesians 3:9 said He kept hid in God. Paul says, here's some information here that God kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. Now, look at here. If something is made known, preached about, and revealed since the world began, and something over here is not revealed, not preached about, not made known since the world began, get a hold of this now. They aren't the same. You know how you know they aren't the same? Words on the page in the Bible tell you they're not. Now, you want to recover yourself from the snare of the devil? Believe what God said. You want to be caught in the lie program that says what you want to believe, what your grandma taught you, what your preacher says, what your church authority says, what your body of scholarship holds to is the authority? Believe they're the same. Just that simple. You see, there's a spiritual issue here. There's a spiritual battle going on here. It has nothing to do with me trying to prove I'm right and you're wrong, or me trying to prove everybody else is wrong and I'm right. I don't care. Listen, if that was the issue, I'd stay home. Save the money. Save the wear and tear. I'm wrong enough in any 24-hour period to know that I make all kind of mistakes. Somebody says, "Well, that was my first mistake today." Yeah, your first mistake was thinking it was your first. You know that. Somebody says, "Well, that dog won't hunt, buddy. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner." You better trust an authority that never will let you down. That's God's word. Now, that distinction's important to see. And I've been doing this long enough to know that that distinction is pretty rare to be seen on television, or to be heard on the radio, or to be learned in the average pulpit and religious system today. But it's still what God says, so it's true. And the adversary says, don't believe what God says. Believe what you've been taught. Believe something else. Believe what you want to believe. Believe what your authority says. Let something beside the Word of God be your authority. And when you do that, you get caught in the snare of the devil, and you're taken captive by him at his will. To recover yourself, what do? You believe God's Word. Now, back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, come with me to Matthew chapter 10. The way you got someone free from satanic bondage was very clear. In Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus ordains the 12 apostles, sets them up as 12 apostles, he gives them the first installment of what preachers call the Great Commission. Matthew 10, verse number 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Notice, if he gave them the ability to cast out unclean spirits. If someone was possessed of the devil, they could go and cast the devil out of them. Who did? The apostles did. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Before you start trying to obey this passage, you better believe those verses, because they come first. When Jesus Christ sent the 12 out, he didn't send them to call a prayer line in some city in America. He said, don't go to a city in America. Don't go to the Gentiles. Don't even go up north to the Samaritans. Just go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, before you get any further in the passage, you better decide whether you believe that or not. You don't have to retranslate it. You don't have to wonder what the Greek says. All little simple English words you can understand says the same thing in Greek it says in English. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. My point to you is, back here, they were to cast them out. Who cast them out? The believers, the disciples, the Lord, the 12, the little flock. You come over here, they're doing miracles. They're casting out devils out of people. Why? Because this program back over here had to do with a nation, the nation Israel, coming and reclaiming the planet. And cleansing the planet. Over there in Ezekiel chapter 13, he says, in that kingdom over there, there'll be no unclean spirits in the land. He's going to cast them out. That's where he cast Satan, into the bottomless pit, before that kingdom starts over there. He's going to rid the land of them. As we have people coming and casting them out. Paul says in here, you recover yourself. I can't cast the devil out of you. You cast it out yourself. How? By acknowledging the truth. By believing the truth. You see, God has changed his program today from the nation Israel, the literal, physical, visible, earthly nation and program that he had there, to a spiritual kingdom, a spiritual body of believers in here. And when he changed the program, Satan adjusts to what God's doing today, and Satan's program adjusts too. And today, Satan isn't physically trying to possess the land. We'll look next time and see how that's what he's doing back there. What he's doing in here is the wiles of the devil, the tricks. He's trying to possess the body of Christ through spiritual deception. And so the way you throw his influence off of your life, Why? 2 Corinthians 4 says that if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. If you want to cast Satan's influence off of lost people or off of saved people, you introduce them to the truth of God's Word. You introduce the light of God's Word. And then they believe. They quit trusting themselves as their final authority. They quit trusting the lie program of Satan that you can be your own final authority. And they begin to trust God's Word as their final authority. And when you trust God's Word to you as your absolute final authority, then you have acknowledged the truth and you recover yourself from the lie program. You see how deceptive it is if you're scriptural but not dispensational. You make trusting the scripture a part of the lie program. That's the cunning craftiness whereby Satan's operatives lie and wait to deceive. What you need to do is learn God's Word rightly divided. Romans to Philemon's God's Word for you today. That's what God's doing today. And God would have all men to be saved. Trust His Son, Jesus Christ, that died at Calvary to pay for everything that's wrong with you, to provide His grace, all that God is able to do for you through the finished work of Christ, and then to come to the knowledge of the truth of that so that it's His Word, His truth that lives in you. Well, time's gone, so we'll meet you again next time. Till then, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we would like you to have to go along with today's study. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thank you for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal. If you simply write us here at The Message of Grace, the address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48088. If you prefer, you may also call 586-778-5032. To get the correct tape, just let us know the date you saw the program. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. If our study together has been a help to you, we would be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48088. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another message of grace.
He took the blame.